It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Find him on Instagram, Master Investor Ian Dunlap. Give it up one time for the bro. Now, you also see him on Earn Your Leisure podcast sometimes.
Yeah. Market Mondays every week, every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Tune in.
Now, for the audience, Earn Your Leisure, and shout to those bros doing great
shout
work and
guys.
Giving out great information. How did you guys know each other before they started the podcast? Did you guys become familiar with one another after they started and you was already doing
They were doing a show, and then my friend Jury connected me to them, who was friends with them. We did an episode, which ironically came out 3 years ago today, episode 70.
Congratulations. Thank you. Bravo. Bravo.
So after that, the episode did incredibly well. It was filmed like 3 months before COVID hit. Episode came out right at the height of COVID. And Rashad was like, hey, we want to put out another show. I was like, hey, the stock market thing is really big. Because I think, like, we didn't have a Kramer for our community.
Which, if you don't follow finance, Kramer is the mad money guy. Remember that guy on,
CNBC.
I think it's Fox Business? No,
CNBC.
Yeah. Where his sleeves were all rolled up and he's hitting sound effects. Screaming and yelling and doing all this shit.
So in 2008, like, he was on fire. I know he gets criticized a lot now, but I felt like...
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he's not as good
as he made some bad picks?
Yeah, but that's the part of being doing media every day. Like, you know, the more that you talk, the more trouble you can get into.
It lowers your batting average.
Absolutely. So I was like, hey, I think we should do a show together. And then we did it, and it's been a hit ever since.
So now I started following you, I think, before I even knew about Earn Your Leisure. And I'm not a big investor guy. I just mostly...
Stop it. Yes, you are.
I mean, I have investments, but I'm not like... a day trader or someone who feels like every morning I'm a wake up and track something and put some money into something and then get money out a week later. I'm not doing all that. And there are people who do that. It's the same way, when you show up to Vegas and you see them dudes sitting at the poker table, and that's what they do for a living.
They're
at that table making small little incremental dollars here and there while trying not to lose. But I started really paying attention because I was appreciative of the way you guys, especially you, were going about talking to people and telling the audience, yo, if you don't have money to lose, this ain't for you.
Absolutely.
Tune out right now. If you don't have money to play around with or to try to incrementally grow, don't do this. And I was like, that is what people need to hear. Because investing isn't for everyone in the fashion that many people are doing it today, which is crypto or day trading or Robinhood and these things.
Meme stocks, NFTs.
Yeah, NFTs and all that stuff. That's not for everybody.
Yeah.
Right? Some people, they throwing out $5,000 because they want to make $20,000 in the next 30 days. Yeah. And that ain't necessarily going to happen.
Doesn't work that way.
And so what do you say to people who are very new and they're trying to figure it out and just heard about Bitcoins and NFTs, but like, yo, I want to get in and I want to try this. And let's say I have like $10,000 that I can play with.
You got to go with safety first. And I know it's not the answer that the black and brown community wants to hear, but Bitcoin and crypto got hot. We came into it. Then all of a sudden, real estate collapsed. Turo collapsed. The real estate.
Turo
is a way to lease out a car or rent out your car to other people.
Wait, that collapsed?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That market, everything collapsed at one time once we got into it. And I don't think that's by accident. So I always tell people, invest for the long term. Indexes are cool to start with. That's like an all-star team. So if you don't know what to buy, an index has like the biggest companies in the world in it.
Is it a website?
Good
What's
question.
Index?
An index fund is like a collection of all the companies. So like Vanguard is the number one company in the world to go to. So VOO is one that I recommend. It tracks the S&P 500. And then Apple and Microsoft are like two of the best companies to buy.
Two things to pay attention to here. A, you have to learn how to read and follow this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you're turning your money over to someone and you don't know necessarily how to understand incremental growth, percentage growth, quarterly growth, these other things that take time to understand, if you're not there yet, that's honestly where you need to start.
Yes.
Right? So, before you. And another thing you need to know, and what Ian just said, is we ain't just going to blow by it because that's not what we do here. Ian, you said when we, and by we you mean black and brown people,
yes,
started to see an opportunity in crypto, NFT, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
You started to see
a mass movement
putting money into it. it now all of a sudden went belly up.
I mean, even with Robinhood, they say Robinhood was not a good app for us to use. It was the only app that I knew that our grandmas could use after church.
Right. I mean, it was the first app that I downloaded because I was like, okay, yeah. I was like, let me try it.
Simple to use.
You know what I mean?
But then they demonized it. And then all of a sudden, when that fell apart and the meme stocks fell apart, all the liquidity we put into the market went away as well. So I feel like anytime we begin to get into an industry, they find a way to collapse it to make us not interested.
Who's the days?
Whoever Khaled say the days are,
right? The days are the people with the most money, and most of those people are white, male, billionaires,
those are
all around the world.
Who've been playing the game for a long time.
Well, and except for when you factor in, you know, people in, you know, China and Asia and those, you know, and the Saudis, you start to get some quote unquote minorities, but they're not minorities outside of America. Yeah. But it's important to understand that because. You saying that means you acknowledge that there are factors at work that want to keep black and brown people in debt to the financial system because us getting wealth and us fixing our families and having home equity and being able to send our kids to college over generations will change the power dynamic of the society.
Change the face of capital. And in capitalism, you need a consumer base. So I always say, if you're not an investor, you are a fiend to other corporations. You don't want the people that are historically buying all of your products and then become the investor class, because now you have a voting rights. You can change the skew and like the value of a company over time. I always thought it was a mistake for us to like buy Nike and not ever go to any of the board meetings or not have enough shares and go and vote on what's happening.
Well, so, and I'm keep stopping you.
Go ahead.
Because you said the word vote. And we're not talking about politics.
Yes.
We're talking about when you own stock in a company, a shareholder, you have rights as a shareholder, which means based on how much you actually own will determine how much power you have over said company.
Yes.
Because there's people who just own stocks in a company who they own so much stock, they're on the decision-making board.
Yes.
Right.
The company can't make a decision without running it by them first because they've bought so much stock in that company. So us as the regular consumer, what he's saying is we have, and we talk about this all the time, how black and brown people spend our money.
Yes.
We spend so much money that they don't want to lose us as consumers and us to become investors, because then we can tell them what to do.
Yeah, and if we run the culture, we buy all the products, we make every brand hot. I can argue without Twitter. Without the black and brown community, Twitter would be nothing. I've been having a bunch of conversations and meetings with Meta. Without us, company is no good. So I want us to focus from, shift from being consumers of the brand to owning. Because that's the only path to wealth. The reason why I don't push day trading first is because most people don't have the discipline to do so. But if you hold it like a quality company.
When they don't have the time either.
That's true.
They don't have the free time to sit there.
That's by design too.
Right. A, study it. B, be available to to capitalize on the shifts in a market.
But if people will show you that, like, even in the collapse of, like, Silicon Valley Bank, Credit Suisse this morning, if you can make $30,000 to $60,000 in 1 hour, people will find the time. I always found it interesting the things that are most entertaining to us make the least amount of money, and the things that are deemed to be most boring make the most. So right now when the world is falling apart, I'm like, I cannot believe this is happening again. But there's so much money being thrown around if you're like short in the market. Shorting is like profiting if a company falls. It is amazing to see like.
It's like when you play craps at Vegas and they got the pass line and the don't pass line.
Right, right, right.
Pass line is you're betting that the person's going to hit the numbers that they want to hit.
Yeah.
Don't pass line is meaning I'm betting against you. I think you're going to fuck this up.
Oh, we can curse? Let's go. And now you want to act like you don't know how to invest. Come on, man. You know what you're doing.
Well, so I don't have... I know how.
Yeah.
I think I'm risk adverse in some ways.
Everyone should be.
Yeah, I'm risk adverse, so I'm more into things that have stability and sustainability.
Yes.
Right? Over an extended period of time. I'm old. You know what I'm saying? So I've done risky things in my 20s when I was making money early.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I have a special skill that provides me the ability to get to money.
Yeah.
and rock parties or promote parties or whatever I was able to maintain through my 20s and make smart investments.
Yeah.
I tell on the air, I tell these guys all the time, that at 28 years old, I started my own retirement account.
That's amazing.
Right? And so I wasn't quite sure about it, right? So I'm 28. My boy was working for Northwest Mutual.
Wow, okay.
And was like, yo, you need to start a retirement account. I was like, yo. He was like, you got to take a drug test. I was like, bro, I smoke weed every day. Weed was illegal at the time.
But why do you have to take a drug test
because
to start a retirement
Because they're not
going to
give
account.
You a life insurance retirement plan
life insurance.
If you got
okay,
certain
okay,
sicknesses,
yes. That's right.
Certain whatever. Illnesses, yeah. And so
that's
why you hear those weird ads now where it's like, what's your man's name? Big Lou? Big Lou, he's on meds too, where it's like, yo, he'll give you some insurance even though you may have health issues or whatever. Because basically it's like, yo, you don't want to leave your family with a bunch of bills when you get sick and old. So if you didn't prepare for that day, which most people don't, they're going to charge you a higher premium when it's time for you to try to figure out how you're going to pay for your medical bills and how you're going to pay for all this shit once you're sick if you didn't have it in advance. So anyway, I did it at 28. And I was only putting $400 a month in that.
It adds up, though.
But, you
what
know,
percentage are you
able,
up now?
I was able to buy a home
maybe
10 years later on money I had stacked and dividends I had made. Yeah. And so I was able to take a loan against that. But I still was able to, I still have a retirement account. And then once I started making more money, I changed the structure.
Yeah.
So now I can retire earlier.
Absolutely.
Right?
Start getting paid back from money I put away, start putting away at 28. Plus Northwest Mutual or any company that you decide, they're going to go make dividends. Mm-hmm. They're going to go invest your money.
Absolutely.
And hopefully make more money. Which is why you want to go with someone reputable. But that brings us to what's going on right now.
Yes.
Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, Credit Suisse.
Yeah.
The government has gone in and basically regulators has taken control of these institutions to make sure that people who have their money in them, which is what, for the audience, the FDIC insured shit is, which is the federal government is there to back you up
to
just in
you
case
up,
the people running this institution fuck it up.
Yeah.
They have fucked it up by making stupid
bets.
Reckless.
And gambling.
Bets.
It goes back to the risk aversion. Like, so Silicon Valley Bank, 97% of their client base were risk-based companies. Normally, when a bank has like a clientele, it's 80% safe, 20% risky. They skewed that all the way. And they were investing in companies that were only getting 1% to 5% margin a year. So if I came to you like, hey, give me $100 million, I'm a net 1%, you're going to be like, get out of here.
Well, now, for the person that doesn't understand math or doesn't understand investing, if I'm giving you X dollars to go make money for you, I want more than, usually people want more than 10 cents on their dollar.
Dollar, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if I gave you a dollar and you was like, yo, I'll give you back a dollar 10, I'll be like, I'm not giving you my dollar. I'm going to give my dollar to the person who can bring me back a dollar 50.
Yeah.
Right.
We're getting a dollar one. And some companies were negative. Like even... Salesforce, they paid $27 billion for Slack. Anyone in here use Slack? You know anybody that uses that company?
I do. I know people who use it, but
at work. It's a lot of work people.
Yeah, a lot of work
but
people.
I don't understand why, like, even at work, I'm like, text me, bro.
Absolutely.
Why I got to download another app to have another conversation?
That's not popular. Now, kudos to the founder to be able to sell it for that amount, but it was a lot of gross mismanagement, and a lot of times the venture capital companies, which would be like the equivalent of like a universal... We're funding all of these companies at such a rapid rate, they stopped keeping track and following good risk protocol. So opposed to looking and saying, hey, am I getting $5 out of this deal for everyone I put in? They were running negative because they thought the money was never going to stop. And then once we started to see, like with Sam Bankman-Fried, what happened with FTX, he was the one that made everyone see like, okay, things are not going well in the banking industry. And this is reminding me a lot of 2008.
Getting to know yourself could be a lifelong process, especially because we're always growing and changing. Getting a new job, moving into a new environment, or just life hitting hard, you need somebody to talk to. Therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding, because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react the way we do until we talk through things. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who could take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ebro to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/ebro.
2nd, UBS Arena. Hold on! Sexy Red, French Montana, DeVito, Roller Brook, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Cal Rich, Jet Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C,
Step Swimming,
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns, yours truly, the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set, hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles. 30th anniversary of Summer Jam, 30% off right now. This offer ends at midnight on Sunday. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire!
Well, so, and going back to the financial crisis of 2007, 2008, mm-hmm. which was mostly based on bad home loans.
Yes.
This financial crisis, or what we're seeing start to happen, is mostly based on risky business and primarily tech
yes.
investment.
And commercial.
And commercial.
Like, commercial real estate, yeah, like build, oh, office buildings, yeah.
Oh, office buildings, which is why yeah. we got these big Hudson Yards buildings and all this stuff here in New York that's
beautiful
empty.
Development, but it's empty.
And is yeah. that, have obviously people are tying that to the pandemic and people working Absolutely. From home, which is why your companies are trying to get you to come back to work
yeah. mm-hmm.
and use the office yeah. spaces they're paying for.
Because they need
and
you back
is,
in.
And this is all tied to high mortgage rates also, right? It affects Absolutely. Everything.
Absolutely. I mean, because interest rates, so when Obama came in, did a great job of saving the world, interest rates were zero for 12 years. At some point, you have to raise, and honestly, the mortgage rate needs to be at like 9.5%. To cut all the jobs that they need to have actually cut. Like, Powell is like, I need to destroy the market right now. Get spending.
Who is?
Jerome Powell.
Who's that?
He's the Fed chairman.
I knew the answer, the Federal Reserve, yeah. to tell the people.
I don't understand. Like, why? How is that benefiting
because they
anyone?
Make,
9%?
They,
no one can afford
well,
that.
Well, no, because here, it's not about what people can afford. It's about fucking and these finance motherfuckers, yeah. venture capitalists, who will spend...
I didn't do it.
Fucking... Who will spend stupid... Amounts of
money.
Cash,
yeah.
money, and then just write it off as a loss.
Yes.
Because you can do that as a company. Mm-hmm. You could say, we spent $4 trillion. Oh, well, we lost it. Yeah. And not have to be beholden to who you got the money from.
Gotcha.
In the first place.
Yeah.
So when they raise the interest rates, it's basically saying, yo, money's expensive to get. Knock it off.
Yeah. And
Chill
all these companies
out.
Were funded in crypto and NFT. Came out of that no interest rate environment. Like, if I said, hey, I'm gonna give you $2 million to start a business and pay me back 0.25%, you can build any business and make money. When it goes up to 7%, you have to be a lot more diligent. So the crypto wave that we saw, Bitcoin, NFT, I mean, we had NFTs selling for $400,000 and $500,000.
And nobody could tell you what the fuck it was. What
all.
Is it?
Did not make sense at
a
all.
A picture on your
I
phone?
Know.
Shout out to everybody in the crypto community. And then when interest rates went up.
Why'd you shout out to crypto?
Because they were on my ass and I was wrong forever. Like I said, when Bitcoin was at 59,000, we were going to drop to 20.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, no, there's no way. I'm like, if you can't tell me what the value of something is in one sentence and make it make sense to
it's
my
over.
Grandma, great aunt, like it's a scam.
I was hopeful, right?
Yeah.
I've been buying Bitcoin for years.
Me too.
I put them
Bitcoin
on the,
I do like. Bitcoin
I put
Ethereum,
them in
I do
Ethereum
like.
Ethereum early when it was mm-hmm. like $250 and tried to help everybody around here make a couple of dollars. Yeah. Some people lost.
At what price?
It was like, how much was it? It was like $250 or $500. Oh. It was early.
Yeah.
It was saver. Early. Y'all didn't buy it?
You know, we did. Yes. I did. Some bunch yes. of people did. Yeah.
Clap it up for that.
We got into Coinbase and started playing around. You know,
I didn't know what I was doing, but he's like, just do it. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I did it.
And then I one day came in and was like, yo, get out.
Yeah.
Get out. Get your money. If you made money, get out. Because I look at it like Vegas, right? If I make 20, if I make 20 cents on the dollar,
I'm good.
I'm considering getting out or at least taking my money that I put in out and leaving playing with the house's money.
There's no such thing as house's money, by the way.
Why you say that?
That's your profit. So, like, if you...
Oh, it's your profit, right. It's, your profit.
It's technically your profit, but they'll tell you that it's the house's money so you can keep it in and use your money to make more money off of it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just my way of telling myself, I'm not going to lose now. I'm breaking even.
I'm good with that. Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
That's just my own psychological, but you're absolutely right.
So, I want to know for our audience, okay?
Yes.
Because a lot of people that watch our show are very new to this, okay? So what are like, give me the most basic things that people who are interested in moving in the direction of of investing or trying to get their foot in the door.
Yes.
What are the, give me some pointers on how they can start their journey.
This is my favorite thing to do. I love that we think that we don't know how to invest when we make every brand hot. What's the number one phone company in the world?
AT&T? No.
Mobile company. What kind of phone you have right now?
Oh, you mean maker?
Yeah. Oh, an
iPhone.
Okay. What's the number one electronic car maker in the world?
Tesla.
What's the number one computer company that's not Apple?
Microsoft?
Yeah.
What's the number one shoe brand in the world?
Nike.
We know what to buy.
So all the, okay.
Buy stocks in those companies.
Absolutely.
Got you. Okay.
Because, and also, like, if you want to know an easy list for any decade, go through the top five. But the, especially for women, you guys know, even like if you take ELF, which is a beauty brand, that's doing incredibly well.
ELF.
Yes. Yeah.
What do they own?
Makeup and cosmetics.
Makeup. Very, very affordable. Makeup.
Yeah.
ELF, but yes. ELF.
Okay.
Yeah.
Super affordable. Target is doing amazing.
Yeah.
Costco. A lot of it is common sense, but if you go through and look at the top five companies in the world, those are usually by decade the best ones to invest
so
in.
So my first advice, so obviously I think everybody.
You're passionate about this, right?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
You know, the first book. You know, look, I come from a family of street hustlers who did a lot of federal time and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So money was always around.
Yeah.
Making a lot.
Yeah.
Losing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Feds taking people to jail often. Mm-hmm. Right. So I got to see a value system.
Absolutely.
Of what was like. And we all know from hosting parties,
mm-hmm.
you know, hype beast movements,
absolutely.
Right? When shit is inflating, you're like, yo, they hyping this,
yeah,
bro.
Absolutely.
This ain't mm-hmm. really that hot. It's the same shit in the investment world.
Yeah, it's the same game.
And where you start to, like, for instance, I know some shit is bullshit when I see it trending on Twitter a lot.
Yeah.
I know that whoever's running this up is trying to get their money out.
Yeah.
So they're trying to make everybody trying to hype beast something so mad people run into it. Run the numbers up so they can get their money off top, and then whatever.
And leave everyone, like, yeah, holding the back. And I used to think growing up in like urban environment was like a disadvantage, but I think our bullshit detector is so much higher because, like you said, you can see when someone's hyping something up versus
right.
like people are really rocking with it. And the best thing to ask is like, if people give you advice, number one, if I lose money, will you wire me money if I lose? Number two, are you doing this full time? Because there's so many people talking. You almost can't tell who's who. Most people have an incentive to like get you to back that thing. So in the NFT movement, they were trying to bring up the value of their own NFTs by getting everyone involved in that movement. You got to be careful. But yeah, start with the business.
They were bringing in celebrities. Some got in trouble.
Some got in trouble. Some got sued.
Yeah, wasn't it? Remember the apes? I think there was like a big scandal with the Bored Apes.
Well, yeah, because they were saying it was looking fishy. B, then they start saying the dude that started or the dudes was like racist or something, and then they was throwing around mad cash.
Allegedly, because I want to get involved.
Allegedly,
allegedly.
What, being racist? You can't go to jail for being racist.
You can get sued for propagating that they were. So we got clipped up in a little documentary. They got mad at us. So,
They would sue you for saying that they were racist and somehow slandering their brand or something like that.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
All of that to say it was inflated.
Yes,
right.
It was.
And you could tell when it's inflated, and you could tell when people are just taking a bag to get to it. But the first advice I ever got was, you know, somebody when I was young gave me that book, Rich Dad Poor Dad.
That's a great book.
Which ultimately is just about making your money go to work for you.
Yes.
Right? Like, and we talked about this morning, Laura, when I was like, look, you direct deposit your check every week
mm-hmm.
into a bank that takes your money
and
makes
it
investments.
Yep.
Then they charge you a fee if you don't use their ATM. So they get money. There's money being made off those transactions, mm-hmm. those microtransactions. So a lot of money's moving around. Your direct deposit. So people making money on your money.
Yeah.
And you don't know the person at the desk when you walk in. They don't know your name. You got to
have
that relationship.
Yeah.
And it could be small because they're watching your spending habits. That's the relationship that's going to help you take the next step if you're managing your money wisely. And they'll tell you straight up, we look at your spending habits. You're not doing a good job. Here's what you need to do to do a better job.
I mean, listen, I remember when I walked in and I was like, hey, let me ask you some questions. I think after we had a conversation years ago, it was something as simple as I had been using the same credit card forever. Why? Because I just did.
Yeah.
And she looks, she's like, why are you using that? And then she was like, this is why you get cash back here. She was breaking it all down, and I was clueless.
Yeah.
And it was as simple as that. She now, I mean, I pay attention to these things, and I ask questions, and I call up the company. Using the best credit card for me? But as simple as that, things that you don't think about. Yeah. You don't think about these things.
And you're talking about maybe making an extra $200 a month.
Yeah.
Just saying, it adds up.
Yeah.
Which compounded over a year, multiple years adds up, and you can use that money to go to work on your behalf.
Yeah.
And I think that's the small piece that I think people need to understand is that you don't have to be master investor.
Yeah. You can start with $100 and just invest it. Because what happens with us, we'll see that $100 go to $200, and all of a sudden we'll find $2,000. So instead of buying Balenciaga or getting 3 pair of Yeezys since he's going to make a comeback, we'll put that into the market. I tell everyone, like, invest 20 to 50% of the money that you have coming in if you want to get to financial freedom in, like, 10 years.
Mm.
Have to. And I know the long game is not fun, but we all know in here, man, them 10 years will go by quick.
That's right.
Yeah.
Go by in a heartbeat.
And to Ebro's point, look, he started at 28.
That's amazing.
And I feel like people don't – these conversations are important, so kids now that are in their 20s.
Yeah. You know, and these kids are smarter than ever.
Right.
Fact.
Just, and for the ones who don't have the access to, at least who watch our program for something else, they could come here and learn something.
Absolutely. And we need more of that in our community because other coaches are not going to take care of us. And I think it's more important, especially for the artists. So when I talk to artists now and I'm looking at the deals, I'm like, damn, they're robbing y'all more than ever.
Well, record deals have always been the worst small business loan you could get.
I agree.
Right? And so, and it's basically, if you're an artist and let's say you're selling, 100 tickets a week to your small show.
Yeah.
Okay. And those 100 people, whatever cities you're going to, they're coming out. And you can take those profits and show them over the course of a year or 18 months to 2 years, and you've started an incorporation, you're putting that money in a bank, you can go take that and get a small business loan because you're showing, hey, I've ran a business over this amount of time. Here's my consumer. Yeah. Here's how much they buy.
Yeah.
And you could probably leverage that to get a line of credit and take that line of credit and start to build your business a little bit more.
From there, yeah.
Merch, marketing, et cetera, et cetera. The labels then go, okay, yo, no, we're going to give you a loan for this business, but not only are we going to want our money back, but we're going to own parts of your business,
which is
something they don't even do to the bakery. Nobody, no bank does that. It's the worst.
But I think we have to do a better job of educating the population. Like some of the contracts I'm seeing, in perpetuity plus one lifetime. So I'm like, you're going to like sign an artist and put him in a 360, own all this stuff for their life and their kids' lives. That's fucking crazy to me.
Well, it's predatory loans and they get away with it.
Absolutely.
And they get away with it because most of the time, the people who take these loans are people who are from poverty
And
are scrambling to get by and need to take a bag right now. So that they can save mom and grandma and get everybody out of whatever it is that they're in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And try to turn their lives around. Yeah. So they take bad loans and it's sad. The other thing I was once told, and tell me if you agree with this, Ian, is your first investments, and I think you kind of pointed this out, should be in things that you already buy.
That's bad advice.
Tell me why.
Having some health problems and don't know what's wrong? Don't text your group chat asking for opinions on what's wrong with you. Your friends aren't doctors. You need a doctor you can trust. On ZocDoc, you'll find quality doctors who focus on you, listen to you, and prioritize your care. No more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't met yet. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. Plus, they treat almost every condition under the sun. When you're not feeling your best and you're just trying to hold it together, finding great care shouldn't take up all your energy. Go to ZocDoc.com/Ebro and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/Ebro. ZocDoc.com/Ebro.
Chef G is home, baby. Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie. Big Daddy Kane will be
celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C.
Mr. C, step swimming.
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B. and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns. Yours truly, the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set. Hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stahl.
30th anniversary of Summer Jam. 30% off right now. This offer ends at midnight on Sunday. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire!
Because just because you're buying it doesn't make it a good investment.
Okay.
So if it's not in the top 10 and two good points, there's two companies that run everything. They're kind of like the Sony and Universal of the investment space, Vanguard and BlackRock. Mm-hmm. If they don't own them, I won't touch it.
Okay.
So some people may shop at, like in the Midwest, Walgreens. Not the best investment. Target, amazing.
Why?
Home Depot, because like their other competitors, like Walgreens' biggest competitor is Walmart and Target. It's who's better. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't, like, listen.
You like the way Target runs their business versus...
Target is Cardi.
Right.
Right? I won't say any other artist names. I've gotten in trouble for comparing artists before, so I'm going to stay away from that.
But that's a good comparison, though. Yeah.
Listen, like, if I can do Glorilla and Cardi in my portfolio, great. That would be Target and Walmart. Walgreens has no chance right now. So you can buy a company and it, like, look at Clorox. Clorox was amazing during COVID.
Yeah.
Then it fell apart. Like, just because you buy something doesn't make a good investment, it should be like in the top 20. And just Google top 20 companies in the world and it'll pull up for you in 2 seconds and you'll be able to know what to invest
But to your point about iPhones or seeing brands that are actually being purchased frequently.
Yes.
And people actually using them. And you see, you look around, you're like, oh, Nike.
Everyone has one.
iPhone. Yeah. Okay, boom. Those are good invest. That's when you know, okay,
absolutely,
I need to do some research here on
it's an eye test. Like, my favorite thing to do is say, hey, have you heard of this brand? Do you buy it and do you use it? A lot of it is common sense. Mm-hmm. So if I ask everyone, hey, when the last time you bought some Pro Kids? Shout out to Pro Kids, no slight. I don't know anybody that's brought Pro Kids in the last 3 years. I would not want to invest in the company if it was publicly traded.
Right.
So a lot of it is just like common sense that we think that we don't have.
So now let's, I want to do some, there's a word that I think a lot of people get afraid of other than investment.
Yeah.
Which is portfolio.
Gotcha.
And so when you call one of the commercials that you see on TV about retirement or whatever, you get on the phone with them and they have what are called portfolios.
Yes.
In said portfolios is like a group of companies that specialize in certain type of businesses, mm-hmm, and they're bundling those businesses together in a portfolio and your money's going into this kind of bucket, correct?
Yes, a bucket.
And so talk about portfolio investment and just kind of these things that give me another company because the only thing coming to mind is Northwest Mutual and Charles Schwab, but there's...
Those are two good ones. Vanguard, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan.
Right. Yeah. So you make this phone call and they start talking to you about portfolios. You as the person, the investor, what should I know about that?
The number one thing, if you call an advisor, so a portfolio is just think of it like as slots on a team. So like there's a certain amount of stocks you should have on your team to be safe and risk against like the market falling apart. The number one thing you need to ask is the investment that you're putting me in one that you're currently in? If they say that they are, ask them to let you see.
That's right.
Because a lot of times they'll put you in something that they're not in because they may think that you're a beginner. And they're human as well. Like, they just may not want to deal with the client today. And a lot of times when you get to see what they're actually invested in, there is going to be a disparity versus what they're putting you in versus what they're personally holding.
Sure. Talk to me about retirement, mm-hmm, and stocks to invest in for retirement.
A retirement is so important because, like, I know when I was young, I was like, I'm not worried about that. Like, when I'm 40 or 50 or 60, now I turn 40, and I was like, thank God I started at 32, putting a lot of money away. But as Apple, Microsoft, Google, NVIDIA is going to be really big over the next few years with regard to, like, chips, and with ChatGPT being so big, they're powering that. If you want some risk, volatility, Tesla's good. Elon's a little bit erratic. Elon's like white Kanye.
Yeah.
So you'll have some moments where you look at Elon like, mm-hmm, what are you doing? But there's genius when the product is released. But you really only need
And there's also shareholders that make sure that he don't destroy the whole shit and do some wild shit. He can't just do anything he
wants
to do.
Yeah, can't do anything he wants to do. So like big tech companies are great. If you want something like ExxonMobil is great during a recession. pharmaceutical companies are great during a recession. So times like now, those are good to have. But the companies that you have in your portfolio, you want to hold for 30 years. Like, you know, if you hold the S&P 500 for 20 years, any 20 years of a history, 0% chance of losing. Zero.
How do I phrase this? When investing, is it good to pay attention to what the government of the United States is making investments in?
The top five governments, yes. So I'll look and see what the Saudi family is doing. I'll look to see what we're doing. But most importantly, like what the Federal Reserve is talking about, they are our financial parent. So like whoever the Fed chair is, their word matters the most because they set the policy for what's going to happen in the economy. So we focus on them more so than anything.
So like when the government says, you know, I don't know, Joe Biden passed a bill for, what was it, the America Rebuild Act or whatever. We're going to invest in roads.
His remix of Make America Great Again?
Yeah, his remix, right? Yeah. Getting electric cars and charging stations and, you know, all of these kind of investments to get us into the green economy better. Yeah. And we're going to start making microchips in the United States, and they're building plants for all this stuff right now. When you see that, like me, I see that, I call my financial advisor and I'm like, yo, talk to me about these investments and which companies are going to be in and around these investments. And is that a good place to be? And do you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely a good idea to look there. I mean, with the chip manufacturer, that's tricky because we had not enough chips last year. And now we have a surplus.
It's inflated right now.
Yeah, so you don't want to chase the news. Like the companies that are usually dominant, like Apple has a relationship with the government. So does Microsoft. The biggest companies are going to go to the White House 3-4 times a year. So you'll see that influence there. As well, I won't actively chase the news for a program like that, but it is good to like at least look and see like material wise, like what programs are coming out to see if you can invest there.
His name is Ian Dunlap, the master investor. And can you give us any tips today? If we see what's happening, these banks are failing.
Yes.
What does that mean for me? Is now a good time if I want to begin investing?
Yes.
Is now a good time?
Yes, but I would definitely, and kudos to my JP Morgan family, Citadel family. I know you don't want me to say it, but stay away from every bank right now. Bank of America and JP Morgan will be great, but I believe this collapse happened. So like interest rates are going to be risen. They're going to save the banks. The big four banks are going to get bigger. The regional banks are going to be in trouble. I would not put any money into banks long term. Invest in the top five companies that you see. You need safety right now.
Because you said Bank of America and JP Morgan are
going to get bigger.
Are going to get bigger.
Yes.
So
they're
going to
take the smaller banks.
The smaller banks on. Yeah. Like this reminds me so much of 2008. No one wants
Washington
to say
Mutual was gobbled
fell
up
apart.
And
yes.
All of that.
And it started.
Wells Fargo's finished out here, ain't they? They've been having
Wells
so many
Fargo
problems.
Should have been finished 10 years ago.
But this might be the time.
It could be time if they pull that curtain back and let people see, and regulators like finally reveal. Like, they're about to pay one of the biggest fines in banking history.
I know. They've been shady, though.
For a long time.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Right? So be careful. But yeah, is it a good time to invest if you're investing in great companies? Yes. There are still some amazing companies out there. NVIDIA, Google, Tesla, Amazon. Would not touch Wells Fargo. Would not touch JP Morgan right now, even though they're a great bank. I would wait for things to stabilize and then put money there. ExxonMobil is a great company for long term. Bitcoin, I still like. Bitcoin, I like it maybe like at 18,000. Ethereum, like at 1431, I like. But everything else, stay away from. Now, like, this version of investing is like basketball in the 90s. Like, we're really going to get to see what companies are great. This is bully ball right now in investing season. Like, the best companies are going to rise to the top. And those that were not doing so well, they're going to get kicked out the league.
I appreciate you, brother.
Of course,
congrats,
I appreciate
on everything.
You more.
Keep doing
thank
the
you.
Great work. You know
yes,
what I'm saying?
Thank you for coming.
I'm honored to be here. I love you guys for real.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. Give it up. Ian Dunlap, Master Investor. Go look for him on Instagram.
I want to do commercial.
Do a commercial for the podcast.
Like he wants us to do this commercial for the podcast.
Like what? Like I say, like, my name is Barack.
Yeah, my name is Danny.
And when does the show come out?
Every Wednesday.
What kind of podcast is it? What company?
I don't know. We f***ing around.
Current events, comedy.
No, it's a hot
97 podcast.
Yes.
Hot 97. Blazing hip hop and R&B. Podcast too.
And that's the commercial.
One listen and you'll be glad to know we don't ever plan to stop. Bad Business with Barack and Daniel.
Hot 97. Podcast Arena. Hold on! Sexy Red, French Montana, DeVito, Roller Brook, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Cal Rich, Jet Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C.
Mr. C, step swimming.
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns, yours truly, the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set, hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles.
30th anniversary of Summer Jam, 30% off right now. This offer ends at midnight on Sunday. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire!